it symbolized fruitfulness. And in the Old Testament, you find when God's chosen people sit each under the vine and the fig, you know there is a blessing of the Lord. In the days of Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 4, you find everybody was able to sit under the fig. And in Zechariah chapter 3, you find the day will come when the Lord shall return to the nation of Israel. Then they will sit under the fig tree. So the fig tree represents the nation of Israel. And you know, our Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 13, he tells us a parable. A man planted a fig in a vineyard, and for 3 years, he came, tried to find the fruit, and there was none. So finally he told the vine dresser, cut it down, because it's just a waste of the ground. And the vine dresser said, wait for another year. Let me dig and put fertilizer in it, and if it does not bear fruit, then we will cut it off. And then you find in Matthew chapter 21, when our Lord Jesus, during his last week before his crucifixion, one morning he was coming out of Bethany and towards Jerusalem, and he was hungry. He saw a fig tree there full of leaves, and you remember the Lord Jesus went there trying to find some figs to satisfy his hunger, and there was none. So the Lord cursed that fig tree. That was the only time the Lord cursed a fig tree. He cursed it and said, from now on, no one will eat your fig. And that fig tree withered from the root. And only 2 days later, in chapter 24 of Matthew, our Lord Jesus said, learn from the parable of the fig tree. Now, the Lord is not that forgetful. 2 days ago, he cursed the fig tree, and now he said, learn from the fig tree. It shows that the Lord is telling us something. Now, it is true. For 3.5 years, the Lord worked among the Jewish people at his time, trying to bring forth some fruit for God. But at the last, he couldn't find any. So temporarily, the nation of Israel was set aside, withered, as it were. But the Lord said, when you see the fig tree begin to bring forth tender branches and to begin to have leaves, you know that the summer is near. We are told that a fig tree is one of the last trees in Palestine that begin to branch out with leaves after spring. So the Lord said, when you see the fig tree begin to have tender branches and leaves, you know the spring is over. The summer is here. If spring speaks of the dispensation of grace, We are living in the springtime. But summer speaks of dryness, of heat. In other words, the church. Are today still in the springtime? Or are we already entering into the dry season? And the Lord said, when you see all these things happen, you know it is near at the doors. It is near. And the word it in the original can be he is near. Who can he be? But he. Our Lord Jesus. Mark 13 say the same thing. Luke 21 says, when you see these things happening, you know the kingdom of God is near. Brothers and sisters, it is a miracle. It is God's doing. It is beyond the understanding of the statesmen and politicians and everybody in this world that a nation that has been destroyed, a people scattered all over the world, without a government, without a territory, is not assimilated, annihilated, persecuted, not destroyed, and eventually reborn. You never see that in history. In 1948, May 14, the nation of Israel was established. Brothers and sisters, it is near. The kingdom of God is near. He is near. The Lord is near at the doors. In the original, it is not door. It is doors in the plural number. People in the Western world may not be able to understand this. Because if you come to the door of your house, when you open the door, you are in the house. But in the Orient, it is not so. In the Orient, you have to pass through a number of doors before you come to the living quarters of the family. You will have a door, an outer door maybe for the courtyard. And when you get in the door, you get into the courtyard. And you are a wealthy family, you have to go through several courtyards, several doors, until you find the door of the household. And the Lord said, when you see these things happening, you know I am at the doors. Maybe at the front door, the most outside door. But even so, he is very, very near. It will not take too long for him to come and claim his own. At the doors. I think this is a very definite sign. Brothers and sisters, 1948 has passed. We are already in 1989. I wonder which door he is now at. Another thing. In Luke chapter 21, verse 24. Luke 21, 24. The Lord was telling about what was happening. And they shall, that was during the Roman siege and the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the nations until the times of the nations be fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, in AD 70 you find that once again the people, the Jewish people, were scattered to all the nations. That was the second time. They were scattered to all the nations. And Jerusalem has been trodden down under the Gentiles ever since. We are told only a few months, in AD 135, Jerusalem was under the rule of the Jewish people. Just a few months. But within these about 2,000 years, Jerusalem has been under the control of the nations, the Gentiles. I remember the first time I visited Israel, visited Palestine. At that time, Jerusalem was still divided. Jordan has the old city and Israel has the new city. And we had to cross the no man's land in order to visit both sides. But dear brothers and sisters, during the Six Days War in 1967, June 7, for the first time in 2,000 years, Jerusalem came under the complete rule of Israel. And they make it their eternal, indivisible capital of Israel and of the Jewish people. Now, of course, I know this is a contention, because we know that the Palestinians also proclaim that Jerusalem will be their capital. We are not in politics. But what I'm trying to say is only this. If Jerusalem will remain in the hands of Israel, that tells us something. The times of the Gentiles has been fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles begin with Nebuchadnezzar. Because of the disobedience of the chosen people of God, the sovereignty of this world passed from their hands into the hands of the nations. Babylon, Middle Persia, Greek, Romans, and on, and the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. And when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, then you'll find all the following things will come. And the Lord said, look up. Sisters, 1967 has passed. We are in 1989. Is it not time for us to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draws nigh? One more thing. In Daniel chapter 2, we find that human image. It is the image of a man that represents the kingdoms of this world. and you find the golden head, silver breast and shoulder, and brass belly, and iron feet, and legs, and at the very end of that image, you have 10 toes, mixture of clay and iron. And during that time, you find stone that is not cut with hand will strike against that 10 toes, and the whole image collapses, completely destroyed, and that stone will grow into a big mountain and fill the earth. That stone represents the kingdom of God. And you find again in Revelation chapter 17, you'll find the beast having 7 heads and 10 horns. And these 10 horns are 10 kings. They will come into being kings at the same time. And then another horn will destroy 3 of them and become the leader of that confederation. And we know that little horn is the Antichrist. If my interpretation is correct, I'm open for correction and for discussion. You have heard of the common market. European Economic Community. In 1958, the idea of a European economic community was formed under the leadership of Paul Henryk Spaak, foreign minister of Belgium. The idea was to unite the wealth of the European nations into one common market. And actually in 1985, they planned to erase 3,000, all these tariff barriers, and make Europe just one market. In the beginning, people feel that is impossible, because these nations are really struggling against each other. But today, it becomes inevitable. In 1992, these 12 nations of Europe will wipe away all trade barriers. People can move from one to another. They are preparing one passport, one flag. They already have a parliament. They will choose a president. And even though it is an economic thing, you find that Europe, 320 million people, with all their resources putting together, it will become a super market. He will affect the whole world. And you know, according to the founder of this concept, of course, he was thinking more towards a political oneness. The United States of Europe. Not just economic, eventually it will be a political unit. Now we wonder whether this will be what some prophetic teacher said, the revived Roman Empire, the confederation of the West. Now, of course, there are 12 nations now, but who knows? The Bible said it will be 10 to us. Now, if this is true, then we can see how close we are. I remember a number of years ago, forgive me to mention our dear brother Watchman Nee, because I received so much help from him. I remember many years ago, once he told us, he said, according to the word of God as he understood, when we come to the end, there will be three great confederations. There will be the confederation of the West, the so-called revived Roman Empire headed by the Antichrist. There will be the confederation of the North, headed by Russia, as we find Ezekiel 38:39. And there will be the kings of the East. And these will all come to Middle East. For some reason, we do not know now. And then will come the end. The Armageddon. Now, brothers and sisters, I wonder if we are already seeing these things being formed. Now, I do not say the Lord will not come back until after 1992. I hope he will come back tonight. And he can. But at least, these are the signs of the end time. And brothers and sisters, we need to discern these signs in order to know how we should behave, that we may do the right thing, that we may watch and pray. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, our hearts do rejoice, knowing that it will not be long. The cry of the church through the centuries is how long, how long. But we know thou hast heard. Thou wilt not tarry. Thou art coming. Oh, we pray that we may be those who are ready for thee. We may be those who will welcome thee. We will be those who will bring thee in. Have mercy upon us. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.